The census data from last year showed that more and more African Americans are reversing the Great Migration. That means they're moving from northern metropolitan areas like New York and Chicago and Detroit back down to the southern cities of their parents and grandparents, like Atlanta and Kansas. And there's been a lot of sifting of that data from the census. It's led by Brown University, this particular study, and it shows that a consequence of the reverse migration, an unintended consequence anyway, is desegregation. Suburban neighborhoods in some southern cities are becoming racially integrated. Joining us now is Isabel Wilkerson, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, author of The Warmth of Other Suns, the epic story of America's Great Migration. Good morning, Isabel.
Good morning.
First of all, let's talk about the reverse migration and what's causing that particular trend as people move back down south after their parents and grandparents, at great effort and danger in some cases, moved them north.
It's interesting because the actions of the parents and the grandparents actually helped create a better and more inviting and welcoming world for their children and grandchildren. They may not have been the ones to benefit from that, but because of their departure, the South ultimately changed and it's become a more welcoming place for people of all backgrounds. And, of course, African-Americans, being Americans, have in many respects followed the same trend toward the Sun Belt cities in search of the American dream. And they have found that those cities in the South have, in some ways, because they were never really having the same kind of segregation in terms of residential circumstances. The residential circumstances in the South had been different all along. It turned out that those cities in the North were so segregated or became so segregated because of the mass in-migration of African Americans during the 20th century that they had become hyper-segregated, meaning they were so segregated that blacks and whites only interacted at work. And those cities were places like Chicago and Detroit and St. Louis. These were cities that were so segregated that residential segregation was so entrenched that there were times where an African American might not even see a white person. And now we're seeing that in the cities that are benefiting from this new trend tend to be cities that are not as segregated. Miami and Houston and Dallas and Atlanta were the big beneficiaries of this new trend in migrating to the South.
Although the other interesting consequence that we're seeing is that, you know, some of these places like Detroit, and Detroit is a very good example, where segregation has been a stubborn problem for a very long time, and it's now beginning to go away, partly because people are moving around, trying to find work, moving to wherever it is that they can get a job, as opposed to using other factors into their decision on where to live. And that's just reshuffling the entire deck in a completely new way. Kansas City, for example, was the 18th most segregated city, and it's dropped down to 36th at this point.
Yeah, I think one of the beauties of any migration is that people somehow know there's no leader for it. There's no one sounding the day or the hour, but somehow people know in their bones that this is the time to move out, that there are too many of us spread or too many of us concentrated in this one place, and we need to spread ourselves out. And that's in some ways what's happening here. But because people are returning to a region of the country where their ancestors had been traditionally identified, it's not seen as that when you first look at it. And it's looking at these numbers more carefully that you recognize that they are moving to suburbs in the areas that had been segregated in the North, and they are moving to cities in the South that may not have been as segregated all along, and to the suburbs of those cities in the South. And so they're spreading themselves out because they're finding that they can fare better if there's more diversity wherever they go.
But let me ask you, we're speaking with Isabel Wilkerson, a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author of The Warmth of Other Suns. Let me just ask you, what has changed? Because something has changed. For a long time, the history of movement in our country has involved a brown population, whether it be Latino or African-American or whatever, moving into an area, and the white population moving out. I mean, the concentric circles that surround metropolitan areas in which one population moves in, the other moves further away. The other population expands further, the other moves further away. Why is that not happening now?
I think that what you're speaking of is a newer generation of white Americans who are finding that the cities that their parents and grandparents had fled have the cultural advantages that they'd always wanted. In some ways, that original white flight was one of panic and of nervousness and was not perhaps well considered. And their children and grandchildren, interestingly enough, if you look at both black and white, the children of these people who were the ones who helped it by their actions or inactions created the segregation of the cities of America in the 20th century, their children and grandchildren on both sides of this equation are choosing a different route, and that is only to the good.
Well, let's examine that to the good part of your comment, Isabel Wilkerson, because your book was all about the almost cataclysmic changes in American culture, in American politics, because of the Great Migration. So what do you foresee happening because of this reverse migration?
What's happening already, and this has been going on actually for 40 years since the end of the Great Migration. You know, it ended actually in the 1970s, and so this has all been a continuum of new generations of people not bound by the old strictures and willing to try the places that their parents had fled. Interestingly enough, African Americans have fled the South. Their children are returning South, and many white Americans fled the cities, and their children are returning to the cities. One of the cities that we've talked about it. Atlanta, in fact, has had an influx of white population, which has changed the dynamics within that city itself to the point that the last mayoral campaign, there actually was a very strong contender who was who happened to have been a white woman, and that has changed the politics and changed the makeup and demographics of the city. Also, when you think about people not wanting to commute anymore to these far-flung suburbs, there are all kinds of factors that are coming into play. But mostly it's the openness, the greater openness that I would hope would be a good thing for the country as people are willing to take on and to live in places that they previously had not been connected to.
Could there be a downside if we're getting rid of some of these historic neighborhoods which have been, say, ethnically bound together or culturally bound together?
I do believe that that is one of the unintended consequences that people are not really thinking about. Of course, any migration means that people are making decisions for themselves and their families. It's only after you look at the great numbers over time that you see the true effect of it. And one of them is that it's dispersing the black vote, for example, from those centers where they had been instrumental in these blue states, and they now are going to states that are red. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in the long run because their vote can be more likely diluted in these other states that they're moving to in the South. The other thing is that the old cultural centers and historic neighborhoods that had come into being almost because they had to. People had been in the North, Detroit and Chicago and New York. They had been limited and restricted as to where they could live. And one of the unintended consequences of that is that they created these rich traditions out of the hardship of having to live in one neighborhood. And those neighborhoods are now gentrifying and changing. But this is all part of the continuum of what happens when human beings move from one place to another. And one group inherits the places that another group had been in. You know, when the African Americans arrived to the great cities of the North, there had been Italians and there had been Irish and there had been German before. And
it's now, all changing. Yeah.
It's all changing.
Isabel Wilkerson, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, author of The Warmth of Other Suns, The Epic Story of America's Great Migration. Thanks, Isabel.
Thanks so much.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.